Someone once said, "If I only knew more about the scripture, I could believe and I could be saved." Is that your thinking today? Just what do you know about the scripture? What does the word Bible mean to you? In these days when many are attacking the truth of the scripture, I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit today to bring the message entitled, "The Truth About the Word of God." I trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 20 minutes, and perhaps many of the questions that you've asked for a long time will be answered in this radio broadcast today. If you have just tuned in, you're now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Our announcer has already given you our church address, the schedule of services, and also our mailing address. At the close of the broadcast, he will give these again. But may I take just this moment to give you a special invitation to attend our Sunday school on Anniversary Day, March 1. The first Sunday of March will be the 16th anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. It would thrill us to have you as our guest on that day. Remember, the date is March 1st, our 16th anniversary. In the meantime, we would be happy to have you worship God with us in any or all of our regularly scheduled services of the church. Our announcer at the close of the broadcast will remind you once again of the address of the church and of the mailing address of Worth Baptist Hour. My message today will be based on one passage of Scripture. However, we will be referring to many passages during the course of the sermon. Perhaps you'd like to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down some of these references for future study. My message today, the truth about the Bible, based on Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We shall read that verse after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for Thy timeless and eternal Word. We thank Thee for the medium of radio that provides us an opportunity to preach the truth of the Scripture. For those who are listening today, we would ask a special portion of Thy grace. For those who are sick, for those who may be shut in today, for those who are despondent, for those who have elements of discouragement and despair within their hearts and minds. Perhaps, Heavenly Father, someone is tuned our way today who has decided that life isn't worth it after all. They have no sense of direction. They have no light. They have no guide. They have no hope. We pray today that this message would cause them, by the Holy Spirit, to see that there is a hope, there is a way, there is a set of rules in Thy Word that teach us how we can live and how we can die. May the Word of God become a new and living book to those who hear it today, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We are going to notice, first of all, the origin of the Scripture. And then we shall consider the composition of the Scripture. And then third and finally, the character of the Scripture. Let us note then first the origin of the Bible. How did the Bible begin? Where does it come from? I will begin that answer by saying that the Bible is not like any other book in all the world. The Word of God is not like the Quran, the Bible of Muhammad. The Word of God is not like the Book of Mormon, which is nothing more than Joseph Smith's dreams. The Bible, I say again, is not like any other book in all the world, because the Bible is not of man, but the Bible is of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, Peter writes, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice that word inspiration. That's an interesting word. It comes from two Greek words, theos and pneuma. Theos is the Greek word from which we get our word God, or our words like theology or theologian. The word pneuma means to breathe. So we bring these two words together, theos and pneuma. They mean God breathed. So what Paul really said is this, all scripture is God breathed. When the prophets of old wrote the Bible, they did not write what they thought. They wrote what God said. For example, in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. In Jeremiah 30, verse 1, the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. And then Paul, again in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, writes this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when ye heard the word of God, which ye received of us, that ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The Bible is the timeless, eternal, unadulterated, infallible, life-giving word. There is no other book in all the world that began like the Bible. There is no other book in all the world that ends like the Bible. There is no other book in all this wide world that was written like the Scripture. You see, God has spoken, and God speaks with finality. God speaks with authority. Don't listen to anyone who will tell you today that they have a new revelation from God. God has spoken. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God spoke through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the living word, while the Bible is the written word. Hear it from John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Greek there is logos. In the beginning was the logos, or the essence, or the expression of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, the Bible began with God, and God has spoken in finality and with authority through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit and in the written word. This is the origin of the book of God. The Bible came from God. Then, in the second place, the composition of the scripture. The Bible is the most remarkable book in all the world. No wonder it has been called the Book of Books. The Bible was written by some 40 people over a period of some 1,600 years, and yet the Bible is one complete volume. It is a library of divine truth written by God, interpreted by the Holy Spirit, and has for its subject matter the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible contains 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, 773,693 words, and every word of the Bible is inspired. Remember, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word is bloodstained, stained with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As to its age, the Bible is as old as time, and yet it is as new as tomorrow. The Bible already has news printed in it, fresher and newer than your newspaper tomorrow morning. The Bible contains the mind of God, The Bible contains the will of God for every man. Search the libraries today. There are on the shelves of libraries books that men said would never lose their date and would never lose their meaning. But, beloved, those books today are outdated. There are theories of man that they thought would never be outmoded, but they are outmoded today, and the Bible remains the number one seller of all books of all time in all the world. The Word of God is already ahead of the next bestseller that's not yet off the press. No wonder John Greenleaf Whittier said, "We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read." The Bible has two main divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Within the Old, there are 39 books. The Old Testament says one thing, basically. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, God's son, David's greater son, is on his way. The Bible, then, prophesies the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is a book of preparation. God is preparing for the advent of his son to make his debut into earth's society. This is the Old Testament, 39 books. The New Testament contains 27 books. The New Testament has one message. Jesus Christ, God's son, is come. He has come in the flesh. He has come as was prophesied by the Old Testament. So the New Testament is a book of provision. The Old Testament preparing, the New Testament providing. This is the composition of the Scriptures, that one complete volume, that library of divine truth. This is the Word of God. And God has spoken to us in all 66 books, in every chapter, in every verse, on every line. God has left his impression. God has breathed upon men to write all of these words that we today might hear them, that we today might know them, that we today might hide them within the framework of our own hearts and our own lives. I ask you now, have you ever known a book like this? A book written over that vast expanse of 1600 years and yet has the same continuous thought all the way through. I defy you, I challenge you to find another book in all the world like the Bible. This is the composition of the Holy Word of God. And then, beloved, comes the character of the Scripture. Everything that we need, we find in God's book. God has not left us to grope in the darkness. God has not left us without a sense of direction. God created us in his image and in his likeness. So God has given to us this wonderful book to tell us how we can please him, how we can reach him, how we can know him, how we can learn of him, how we can spend eternity with him. God has put within the lids of his book all that we need. Now, I know a lot of people are attacking the Scripture in these days. Perhaps you've heard men say that the Bible is not really inspired. It's not really the true Word of God. Don't believe that lie. Believe what God says about his own Word. Believe the Scriptures that say this is the Word of God. All Scripture God breathed. The very character of the Word of God is this. God has unveiled himself, his mind, his will, for every human being within the framework of this wonderful book. Every subject of knowledge known to man has its roots in the Bible. The Word of God is food for our mind and food for our soul. The Word of God is armor for our battles. The Word of God is a map for our journeys. The Word of God is light for our path. The Word of God is therapy for our nerves. More people are speaking more these days about mental breakdowns and emotional disturbances than ever before. We are taking more pills, following more prescriptions, and yet we have more headaches. We have more ragged nerves. We have more things to bother us than ever before. You know, the best therapy for your life, for your nerves, for your heart, for your soul, for your mind, for your emotional makeup is the Word of God. Let me suggest that you read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, if you will read that 23rd Psalm 5 times a day for just 7 days, you will discover that the Word of God is the greatest therapy in all the world. For the historian, there is history in the Bible. For the dramatist, there is drama. For the mathematician, there is mathematics. For the psychologist, there is psychology. For the philosopher, there is philosophy. For the linguist, there are languages to be studied. This is the character of the Scripture. The Word of God contains the root and the base of all man's knowledge. All that man has ever known, all that man knows now, all that man will ever know is in the Bible. And beloved, I'm happy to report to you that there is no conflict between true science and the Bible. Now, there's a great deal of conflict between pseudo or false sciences and the Word of God, but there is no conflict between true science and the Bible. Now, let me ask, what does the Bible teach? Here it is. The Bible teaches that man is a sinner. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, the wise Solomon declared, "There is not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not." You're a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by nature. All men are sinners. This is the message of the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. But that's not all of it. The Bible teaches not only that man is a sinner, but the Bible teaches that Christ is the Savior. In Luke 19:10, we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible tells us who we are, where we came from, how we got here, where we are going, and how we are going to get there. We might say that the Bible is the yellow pages of a divine human economy. The telephone folks say, "Anybody who is anybody is in the yellow pages." Let me paraphrase, anything that is anything is in the Bible. The Bible is a book of doctrine and teaching. It teaches that man is a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. What does the Bible do, someone might ask? Well, the Bible does what no other book can. Some books inform, some books reform, but only the Bible can transform. Here's what the Bible will do for you. The Word of God will deepen your understanding. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Bible will discipline your life. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Bible, the Word of God, will direct your path. Psalm 119, 105. "The entrance of thy word giveth light." The Bible will depict your sin. Psalm 19 and verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The word of God will discern your thoughts. My text said, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a sword with two edges, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, the word of God knows what you're thinking about right now. The word of God knows your plans for today, your plans for tomorrow. God's word discerns your thoughts. No wonder someone said, within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace, to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born, that read to doubt, or read to scorn. How does the Bible serve me? Someone might ask. How does the Bible serve the world? Here it is. The Bible is the framework of our faith. The Word of God is the constitution of our Christianity. The Scriptures compose the charter of our church and the bylaws of our business. All of these things are served by the Word of God. How long will the Bible last? It seems someone may be asking now. We said a while ago that the Word of God was timeless. Just how long will the Bible last? Jesus answers this way, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. The Bible will outlast all other books, all other theories, all other philosophies, all other reasonings of man. The word of God is eternal and timeless. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Hear it. God speaks with a tongue that never slips. God writes with a pen that never blots. God acts with a hand that never fails. The Bible will last forever. And then, what should I do with the Bible, someone asks? Here's a good prescription. One, hear the Word of God. Two, heed the Word of God. Three, hide the Word of God in your heart. And four, hold forth the Word of God. Someone else has given this in speaking about the Bible. You ought to take it in, write it down, work it out, and pass it on. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. As sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. Now, you're listening today and you've never heard the Bible put forth like this. You've always thought the Bible was just another book. Let me help you. God's word is speaking to you. If you're lost, God's word is convicting you right now of your sin. The only thing you have to do to be saved is to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, to open the door of your heart, to pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For this book says, whosoever, and that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you not call upon his name this moment? Right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, call upon the name of God and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And write us about it this week. We would be happy to hear from you and to know that you're listening to our broadcast. Our announcer will give you the address in just a moment. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, this is the pastor of Worth Baptist Church bidding you goodbye and reminding you to just keep on praying.